Good morning, friends. Welcome to the 15th Lord's Day. This is Catechism 2021. We continue through our section on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's pray and we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the hope that you give us in a world of chaos and sickness and suffering and death. You give us hope in Christ. We're so thankful. We worship you. We remember you, we proclaim you, we confess and profess faith in you. All good things come from you. Help us in our studies this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, remember these Catechism 2021s on Sunday and Confession of Faith 2021 on Mondays are meant for your discipleship as an individual, for your family, or for a small group. They're meant as a springboard for your prayer and for your Bible study. These are brief starting points for you. The Lord's Day, number 15, question 37. What do you understand by the word suffered? And in the context, you have to go back and look at the previous weeks, but we're talking about the person and work of Christ. What does it mean that he suffered? That during his whole life on earth, but especially at the end, Christ sustained in body and in soul the anger of God against sin, the sin of the whole human race. This verse right down here, Isaiah 53, would be an important cross-reference for understanding the suffering of his soul in sustaining the wrath of God or the anger of God against sin, the judgment of God or the punishment of God. There's many different ways you could say it. The way he says it here is the anger of God, the righteous anger of God against the sin of the whole human race. And I have heard it taught a few times, not many, but that the suffering only pertained to his body, not to his soul. Isaiah 53 would be your first cross-reference to go to there. Let me go ahead and read the whole thing in full. What do you understand by the word suffered? Oh, there it goes. Sorry, I took it off the screen for a second there. I was trying to bring these cross references into view. It means that during his whole life on earth, Jesus' life, but especially at the end, Christ suffered in body and soul the anger of God against the sin of the whole human race. This he did in order that, so now you have the purpose of his suffering, in order that by his suffering as the only atoning sacrifice, which is a sacrifice that does away with the guilt of sin, he might set us free, body and soul, from eternal condemnation. So that's what he takes upon himself, and that's what he releases us from, condemnation, and gain for us God's grace, righteousness, and eternal life. So this is the centrality of Christ's suffering in achieving salvation for the people of God. Attaining salvation for anyone who would come to Christ in faith and repentance. He gains for us God's grace or God's favor, his undeserved, unearned favor. Righteousness, which is equivalent to having a standing of obedient before God, having a standing of right and good instead of guilty before God. Grace, righteousness, and eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal communion and life in heaven with God forever. And ultimately in the new heavens and the new earth. And so he delivers us from God's anger, God's judgment against sin. And he earns for us, he gains for us grace, righteousness, and eternal life through his sufferings. That which he experiences on our behalf, he delivers us from. He's not going through these sufferings in vain. They are actual judgment of God against our sin for those who believe. Question 38. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? Remember, all of these phrases, the ones that are in quotations, the last question was suffered. This question that's under Pontius Pilate or from that Apostles' Creed, which this section of the Catechism is going through the different phrases. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. Why? So that though innocent might be condemned by a civil judge and so free us from the severe judgment of God that was to fall on us. Don't overthink this. This is just a point about God's providence, that God really does work in and through events on earth in order to accomplish His purposes. Spiritual things accomplished through physical things. Heavenly things accomplished through earthly things. God's providence in working through this. And the specific point here is that you have an innocent man, truly innocent, truly righteous, truly obedient to God in every way, condemned under a civil judge, an earthly authority, bringing him under condemnation and saying, you're guilty. But through this, he's freeing us from the judgment of God that will fall on us. We need a savior, a mediator who's qualified. He must be righteous. He must be obedient. All right. Question 39. Is it significant that he was crucified instead of dying some other way? Yes. Crucifixion convinces me that he shouldered the curse which lay on me, since this kind of death was accursed by God. We're going to look at Galatians 3 in just a moment. Let's read our memory verse for this week. 1 Peter 2:24, vivid passage of what Christ did on the cross. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. He himself bore whose sins? Did he bore his sins? No, he bore our sins, the sins of believers, all who come to him, all of his brothers, all of his sisters, through faith. He bore our sins in his body, and again, read that Isaiah 53 cross reference, in his soul also, on the tree, which is another word for the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So this was to bring about a change for us, to bring about salvation, to bring about a change for us, that we might live for God, for righteousness and obedience, not for ourselves, for sin and wickedness. Galatians 3, the cross-reference was found under question 39, 10 through 13, under why it's important. Let me do something here to fix the window, if I can. All right, we're getting closer to it. There we go. Sorry about that. Now, you may have to zoom in on that. That looks pretty small for you. Right, let me go ahead and do this the right way. I'm going to highlight it so you can see where it is and try to zoom in a little bit. You can still see it. Try to get this as big as possible for you. There we go. Now we're getting there. Galatians 3, beginning in verse 10. All who rely on works of the law are under a curse. So that's any person. It could be me, it could be you, anyone who's relying on our obedience before God as the basis of our acceptance before God. We're still under a curse because it's written, cursed be everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law. If you were to truly obey God, all of His commands, in every way, heart, mind, words, deed, every way, truly, like Jesus did, then you could rely on the works of the law. But that's a fantasy. That could never happen for any person who's a sinner. Verse 11, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. That's evident. That should be evident. That's self-evident that we're not righteous or obedient before God in and of ourselves. It's evident that we're not justified before God by the law. We all stand guilty in that courtroom. For the righteous shall live by faith. So if you're going to be truly righteous in God's eyes, it must be by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the law, the one who does them, shall live by them. The law, the principle of the law, is one of works, of obedience, through what you do. But the law is not of faith. The true righteousness, the righteous shall live by faith. True righteousness is only received and attained by faith in Christ. Here it goes now, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Now that should intrigue you. Redeemed us from the curse of the law, because I'm sure if we were to say he redeemed us from the curse of sin, That makes sense. That should be obvious. Or if he redeemed us from the curse of death, the curse of sin and death, those kinds of things. But here's the curse of the law. Specifically, the curse of the law is that by your own obedience, you can't obey the law. You can never be righteous. You can never be accepted. That's the curse. The law cannot make us righteous. It shows us that we're sinners. It shows us that we need a Savior. But trying to be saved by law, we're under a curse. We're putting ourselves under a curse. So Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Right? He took our place, substitute, by becoming a curse for us. For us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Another way of talking about his cross, his crucifixion. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, nations, that's basically anyone who's not a Judean, anyone who's not an Israelite, the blessing of Abraham might come to the nations, the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. I've got to wrap this up. I think I've already gone on too long. Try to keep these under 10 minutes. The blessing of Abraham is being justified by faith. Being justified by faith. Having a true faith in God's promise of redemption, God's promise of salvation, God's promise of a redeemer, God's promise of a savior, righteousness attained by faith. Justification by faith. But connected to that is the promised Spirit. One of the great promises of God throughout the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was the Holy Spirit in a unique, historically unique, and unbelievable way, a full blessing, the full indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So that is included and connected to the basic blessing. The blessing of Abraham is justification by faith, but that's connected to receiving the Holy Spirit, which Jesus gives. And that's how we're saved. We hear the gospel, that Christ lived a righteous life. He is God. He is man. He is our mediator. He lived a sacrificial death, bearing our sin, bearing our penalty, not only for us, but in our place. And then he rose from the dead to glorious life. He ascended on high, where he reigns in heaven as King, King of heaven, King of earth, the giver of this wonderful free gift for the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, a relationship with God. This is what Jesus gives. He gives the Holy Spirit. As we hear that gospel and believe, we're justified by faith, and simultaneously we're receiving the promised Holy Spirit. And of course, we couldn't have true faith without the promised Holy Spirit. So these things have to go together. Let me go back to memory verse. Read this. I'll pray and we'll be done. That's too much of a zoom in. You guys know I love my zoom-ins and my highlights. We got to get better at them, but I do enjoy them. All right, 1 Peter 2:24. He himself, Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. It's at and through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Where sinners come and we lay down our lives and surrender to Christ and say, I am yours, I believe in you, Christ, crying out to him to save us and deliver us. And we'll die to sin and live to righteousness. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for saving us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for changing our hearts. We worship you on this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks again for joining. We'll see you tomorrow for Confession of Faith, week 15, and next Sunday for the Lord's Day number 16. God bless you. Have a great day.